it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
I know that it's confusing. It is one thing to question the official story and another thing entirely to make wild accusations or insinuate that I'm a superhero.
I never said you're a superhero.
Didn't?
Mm-mm.
Well, good, because that would be outlandish and fantastic. I'm just not the hero type, clearly, with this laundry list of character defects, all the mistakes I made, largely public. Truth is, I am Iron Man.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast. This is episode 288. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Eduardo M. Fryer. How do I say your last? I don't know how to say your last.
Think Fryer. Okay. Like, you know, Fryer Tuck, Fryer Lawrence from Romeo and Juliet, Deep Fryer, you know, whatever works.
And now all I can think of is forget about it. I'll join you and say hello to Friar Duck, Porky and Daffy with Robin Hood Daffy. It's all I can think of now. We are here and we are going back to the 90s, folks. That's right. It is a DeLorean time episode. We're going back in time to September of 1994 when the Iron Man animated series first debuted. It debuted 3 months before, technically 3 months before Spider-Man the animated series did. Spider-Man debuted in November 19th of 94, and Iron Man was September of 94. This series, I like it. I think it's cool, but there are a lot of problems.
Yeah, some people – okay, there's always the phrase, this hasn't aged well. The thing with the Iron Man animated series, and I like it too, and actually the voice of Iron Man has been my default for ages. Yeah, it's not that it didn't age well. It's that it didn't – the not aging well started right out of the womb, so to speak.
I mean, it – what it did was – it wanted to tell individual, bookend-to-bookend stories per episode in the first season. And then in the second season, because it's – so that's the thing. The thing about this show is the first season was done by a whole different set of people versus the second season. And I like that. I think that's fine, cool, whatever. But, I don't know. So –
well, I was saying, before we started recording, I was saying to you, to me, the biggest thing when you look at season one of the Iron Man cartoon, and actually you can also see this in the Fantastic Four cartoon that was on at the same time, is if season one of those two cartoons had come out like 5 to 10 years before, nobody would bat an eye and there wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But coming out when they did, it just looks so – I mean, especially because we had – Spider-Man the Animated Series came out about 2 months after this.
Yep.
And, you already had X-Men the Animated Series. You already had Batman the Animated Series. You already had an example of some stuff that was just really good next to this. And it's like, guys, what's going on here? Like you're just like, why, it's night and day.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, a part of me is willing to say, okay, maybe it's because, the two cartoons were syndication, not you know, not on network TV. So I don't know, maybe that kind of screwed things up because, you know, they didn't have, you know, they had to sell to like different networks. So it's like, okay, you know, they didn't really have the freedom to, you know, kick things up a notch. I don't know, but it just, yeah, it, you compare it to some of the things at the time and it just looks so different.
And the thing for me is the and I know this happens all the time and I know things happen and whatever else, but this series specifically out of all of the Marvel cartoons back then, to me, out of the ones I remember watching, has the most inconsistent voice acting. I'm not saying the voice acting is bad. I'm not saying the voice actors and actresses are bad. I'm saying in season one, for half of the season, you have James, the Shredder, Avery, as Rhodey. And then at some point, mid-season one, Dorian Harewood takes over and is the voice of Rhodey for the rest of the series. At some point in the second season, I don't know when this happened, but the Mandarin's voice completely changed. Like, I didn't know who the hell it was. Like, it did not sound like what he... Like, by the end of the series finale, like, I'm listening... I just finished watching it right before we did this, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like the Mandarin at all. So I don't know what was going on with the voice cast in this show.
Well, at least there were maybe a handful of characters that stayed. The voices stayed the same throughout. I know that Robert Hayes of Airplane fame, that he was the voice of Tony Stark for the whole thing, and yeah, actually he reprised Tony Stark like in Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, and I know that we're talking Mandarin.
Ed Gilbert in season one.
And then Robert, I think it was Robert Ito.
Season two.
Yeah, which...
Ed Gilbert was the better voice for me personally.
Yeah, and I think Ito was, I think he was probably the, he, as the voice of the Mandarin, he would probably be a little bit more appropriate. I know that they tried to give the Mandarin like an updated origin, you know, kind of take away the, take away some of his Asian villainness. Although I think it's one of those things where, I don't know, maybe it backfired, you know, maybe it was like one of those things that, it was a great idea at the time, but you know, looking at it, it's like, okay, maybe we, you know, kind of like with Doctor Strange, how they made the Ancient One Caucasian. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's one of those things of the heart was in the right place. It just didn't come off well.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not, because sadly, Ed Gilbert passed away in 1999.
Yeah.
Basically, he died of lung cancer. Which sucks.
Yeah.
But I... So, specifically to the Mandarin's voice. And I'm not talking about the person. I'm not talking about any political things. I'm not talking about any of the real-world things that people try to bring into cartoons. What I'm saying is the voice between Ed Gilbert and Robert Ito. Ed Gilbert was more menacing. And Robert Ito felt like it was more like he was on a season of Jerry Springer sometimes. Like, seriously, the way that he voices the character and the way the story is told, it just does not... In season two, MODOK feels more villainous than the Mandarin does. To me, personally.
Huh. Well, I kind of like Robert Ito's voice for Mandarin. I think the line that sticks with me is from the final episode where Tony confronts him while, you know, while the Mandarin's wearing a set of armor, and he goes, "Ooh, look at Mr. Anti-Technology now." And Mandarin just goes, "You know, I may be anti-technology, but I am not a fanatic."
Mm-hmm. And I do love how they did this. I love how that. So, yes, technically, from the start of in season one, the first six episodes are like what we said. It's basically villain of the week. It's basically open and shut books, that kind of thing. And then you get episode seven, which is the origin of the Mandarin. And this, for me, is the, or at least it was, and it still is, the definitive sort of, because I was always a cartoon guy. I wasn't a comic guy. I wasn't a comic kid back in the 90s. I was all about the cartoons. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Not just Jerry Springer. The difference between Ed Gilbert and Robert Ito is like what Ben Kingsley puts on as the Mandarin versus what he actually is off camera in Iron Man 3.
Huh.
So on so from season one with Ed Gilbert and all of the MODOK, if you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm going to fry all this. I want to. The performance. And then by the second season, it's like, oh, hi, I'm Trevor. It's just an act. Oh, I'm the man. I'm an actor.
Well, I wouldn't
know it.
I don't feel the same way. I do understand where you're coming from. I don't feel the same way. I mean, I do think that Ito does. I mean, but it is. I will say that I do understand that the two voices are incredibly different. You know,
that's my point.
Ito's voice is kind of a bit more restrained, you know, a bit less bombastic, you know, a bit, even a bit more kind of master plannery, you know, not the type who always goes into the field, but, you know, kind of sits back, throws, you know, minions and stuff at the problem. And then, you know, when something doesn't go right, you know, they simply say, it didn't work out today, but there's always tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not, and I, like I said, I'm not saying they're bad at all.
Yeah.
But I just feel that the better voice in my head is Ed Gilbert's, because like when he's talking to Fin Fang Foom in the first season a couple of times, it's like, ooh, chills.
Yeah. Although it does, I'll say this, that I think that Gilbert does fit with the first season aesthetic, which again feels like, you know, cartoon from the 80s or so, where, yeah, they do want to do, with the exception of the occasional two-parter, they do want to do one and dones. So, you know, and kind of keep the plot simple. But I think Ito for, you know, the Mandarin that we got in season two kind of fits a little better. It would have probably been cool if we would have had some sort of vocal continuity, because, yeah, you have the deep grumble of Ed Gilbert versus the, you know, the more softer lilt of Ito. So that's kind of weird. I mean, we did talk about how War Machine had different voice, had two different voices, and at least those two voices sounded similar enough that unless you're somebody like me who pays attention to the closing credits, you know. You know, you wouldn't be able to tell. And hey, at least at least Robert Hayes stuck around the whole time.
Yeah. Or unless you're somebody like me that I'm legally blind and yes, I can see the stuff and whatever else, but I hear better than I see. And it's like, okay, first half of season one, that's Shredder as James Rhodes.
Rhodey, yeah.
And then, and then Dorian comes in and I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, it's different. It's cool. It surprises me. This show had voice actor changes, and for no apparent reason. I need to do more research on this, but also I have the Turtle Van DVD set of the 87 cartoon. That show changed voices, like, in the middle, like, various episodes. I don't know if somebody couldn't show up or whatever or anything. But anyway, what I wish we had a little bit more of, and not just like one appearance or one episode, was Jennifer Hale and Tom Kane who shared the voice of Ghost. That was cool.
Yes. And this, by the way, this means technically that the Iron Man cartoon had a female Ghost decades before the MCU.
Yep.
I mean, okay, not exact, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll count it. And hey, yep. Jen Hale was the second voice for Spider-Woman.
Well, she's the first. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Wait, what? I thought she was the voice for her the whole time.
So did I, but apparently when I was researching for this, yeah. I was like, oh, so wait, so Jen Hale wasn't there the whole time?
I thought she was, but now that I'm remembering, yeah, the Casey DeFranco version in season one is a little bit different. No wonder I like season two more than season one.
Yeah, and actually the Casey DeFranco one sounds older.
Yeah, it does.
Actually, her voice sounds older. I think maybe that's – I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the reasons why they switched out.
Yeah.
It's like, let's get a younger voice. Yeah.
Well, and then they were trying to obviously get Spider-Woman and Iron Man into a relationship, because technically Julia Carpenter is the Pepper Potts of this series.
Yep.
I mean, just for – I'm not saying that, oh, my God, Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman is – no. I'm saying – maybe they couldn't use Pepper. Maybe Pepper wasn't. I don't know. I don't have Pepper's information in front of me to see when she was created. But I mean,
well, no, she's been around. Pepper has been around since, you know, around in Iron Man since the beginning. Okay. I think probably the reason why they didn't use Pepper is that in the comics at the time, Pepper was not around.
So, right. So Julia comes in.
She was alive, but you know, she wasn't like a part of the comics. So it's like, oh, since Julia's around as Spider-Woman in Forceworks, we'll have her and her civilian identity be like, you know, part of Stark Enterprises. The one thing though, it's interesting because we're starting to talk about the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was curious because the team that Iron Man had around him, especially in season one, season two, these guys, the guys took a break. They got pissed at Tony and were like, okay, fine, we're walking. Yeah. Tony had Forceworks around him. Mm-hmm. And I've always been curious, and in trying to do some research, I couldn't find a definitive answer. In the comics, U.S. Agent was in Forceworks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
While Hawkeye was kind of trying to figure some stuff out because his wife had died at this point.
Yeah. I have the Forceworks article up here on Wikipedia and it lists
I'm just curious as to why they swapped out US Agent for Hawkeye.
I could be wrong because I don't, I'm not somebody, like I said, I was a cartoon kid. I was not a comic kid. I knew of U.S. Agent. I didn't know of him then, but obviously now and in more recent times, I know of him. But
yeah.
I think it's because Hawkeye is more recognizable. Clint is, even back then, everybody knew Avengers was like Iron Man and Hawkeye and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing. So I think that's maybe why. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just assuming and, you know.
You know what? I wouldn't
ask when I assume, but
that's fine. I mean, hey, you know, if anybody out there has an answer, please go. You know, please enlighten. But I have like two prevailing theories.
Know, yes.
Okay, I have like two prevailing theories. One, mm-hmm. U.S. Agent has always been kind of his characterization is kind of jingoism gone wrong. So okay. I wonder if like the creators of the cartoon were like, okay, you know, we don't know. I don't know if we want to go this route, you know. The other possibility, this might be a little closer to the truth, is I know that at some point in the 90s, there was the idea to give Captain America his own cartoon. So it could be that certain aspects – certain characters and concepts were being held back for use there. So it could just be that, things Captain America related, we want to keep it for the Captain America cartoon. And yeah, it could also be a little mix of what you were saying, you know, since Hawkeye's the more recognizable, it's okay, why don't we use Hawkeye?
Yeah. And I okay, so you have a lot of crossover in this show. Tony Steedman was Justin Hammer in season one. He did a decent job of playing the character. I have no nitpicks against the person. You know, I have no nitpicks against him for playing the character. But in season two, why is Alfred playing a villain? Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. was Justin Hammer in season two. Okay. Now, this is where the crossover comes in. So that's Batman. And I'm going to reach on some of these folks because that's just how I am. But then you have, in season two, Master Splinter. You have Peter Renaday as Howard Stark. And then the reaching part is, because I remember this at the time, so this was 94, 95, 96, somewhere around there. And what I remember from Matthew, oh, that was 1990. So it was a few years before this. So the main film I remember Matthew Frewer from is Short Time in 1990. I believe he starred with Burt Reynolds in that movie. And he is the voice of the leader in this series.
Yep. And he went on to do it in the Hulk series on UPN.
I'm correcting myself. No, it was not Bert. It was Dabney Coleman. Yeah, Bert Simpson is the character's name.
Well, they both had a mustache, so it
can- yeah, exactly. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, like literally, you look at Dabney Coleman and you look at Bert Reynolds. You put them side by side. Dabney's got a little bit more, you know, on the sides of him, but like seriously, yeah. I mean,
well, and a little less on the top.
Yeah. I mean, Dabney could easily be, you know, Bernie Lomax, and we could have a Weekend at Bernie's 3 or something today. Oh, God. Hollywood, don't listen to this. No Weekend at Bernie's 3. Don't you dare.
Well, actually, isn't Dabney Coleman gone?
I probably, sadly, no.
I feel like he's
90 years old, according to Wikipedia.
Holy cow.
Active 1961 to present.
Dang.
That's a little crazy. From 1961 to 1984, he was married to Jean Hale. I saw the Hale, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that
Jean's mom? Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, I don't think so. Oh man, she was 82. She died August 3rd. Anyway, Iron Man, folks. Iron Man.
Yeah, this is not the celebrity death podcast.
Yeah, no.
That'll be a different episode.
Yeah, that's a whole other bag of wax. Yeah. You had that's Short Time. I got to get out of that. Go away, Short Time.
Okay, we spoke about Matt Feuer. Moving on.
Yep, we spoke about him. Who else do I recognize? David Warner as Arthur Dearborn.
Yeah, which I noticed that the character design they used for Dearborn was actually another character in the comics named Abner Doolittle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw the character design and I'm like, that's not Dearborn. And then I ran and I grabbed my one of my Marvel handbooks and I'm like, oh yeah, no, they gave him Doolittle's look.
Yep.
For some weird reason. I guess it's because if you look at Dearborn in the comics, he looks a lot like Tony. So it's like, yeah, no, we don't need that.
And I mean, there are a couple other famous ones, like Neil McDonough as Firebrand / Gary Gilbert. But then you hit who Hulk / Bruce Banner is. And I'm like, wait, what in the hell is Hellboy doing voicing Hulk? Obviously, well, he wasn't Hellboy yet, but
To be fair, I think the only things he had on his he really had on his resume at the time were the Beauty and the Beast TV show and the Adventures of Captain Zoom. so yeah, it's not like they had to break the bank getting him. No offense to Ron Perlman.
Yeah, no, obviously not. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his films here, and between 94 and 95, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I think the most famous film he was in between 94 to, between 94 and 96, Police Academy Mission to Moscow, which was a whatever. And then
it was a movie.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that.
Yep. And then TV around that time, The Cisco Kid, Mr. Stitch, Adventures of Captain Zoom in Outer Space. So there's that.
He's there you go.
Had an interesting career.
Yep.
But yeah. So this show, like I said, I like it. I like how it takes the character of Tony Stark and basically makes him out to be an anti-person. I don't want to say hero, but he's not like Punisher-ish, but some of the time, like, when he goes through and does things, this whole lone wolf thing, like he doesn't want Force Works to help. He doesn't want to endanger them. He doesn't want to endanger Julia. He doesn't want. And the most crazy thing to me is Julia's there. The rest of Force Works is there. She's supposed to be Spider-Woman. Now I need to look into her history after this recording, but she doesn't really. She uses her spider powers maybe twice in the entire series. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just sorry. I was just.
Yeah, I mean, she uses her spider powers like twice in the entire series, and she says something about that they faded a long time ago or something. So, again, my theory of them throwing her in there as a Pepper replacement kind of stands.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing though, I mean, to invoke another of Tony's girlfriends, Bethany Cabe, you had the episode with Madame Mask, you know, Tony's ex-girlfriend who got facial scarred. And I know in the comics at one point, Madame Mask and Tony's on and off girlfriend at the time, Bethany Cabe, actually switched brains in like one story.
Oh, geez.
You know, a supervillain switched Madame Mask's brain and Bethany Cabe's. So you had Mask in Cabe's body for a while, and then Cabe and Mask's body showed up and was like, "Yeah, Tony, we got brain swapped." When they did that, when they had that episode where Madame Mask showed up, there was a moment there I'm like, oh, are they going to end up doing an episode in the future where we have the brain switching?
Yeah.
Is that going to, like, if we would have gotten season 3, would that have been in the works? Would we have had, you know, Madame Mask Spider-Woman?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And then they had their own little version of the Armor Wars, which
I like that. So that's mainly what I remember from this series. I remember the origin of the Mandarin. I remember the origin of Tony Stark. I remember Armor Wars, and I remember Hands of the Mandarin, because that was the other thing in season 2 that they did, because at some point, oh, it was when he and Tony had to combine powers to destroy Fing Fang Foom. The rings got scattered across wherever, and you had these little vignettes at the end of almost every episode close to the end of the second season where the Mandarin would like walk into a pawn shop or be on an island somewhere and he would find a number of his, you know, the rings. So, but yeah, I mean, that's really what I remember from this is Armor Wars and some other.
You know what that actually reminds me of? The whole thing of Mandarin's little hunt for his rings. It reminds me of season 2 of X-Men the Animated Series, where you'd have some episodes end with, you know, Magneto and Professor Xavier's little trek through the Savage Land.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hey guys, remember Professor Xavier? Well, this is what he's doing this week.
Yeah.
Running into Shauna the She-Devil. but yeah, you know, it kind of reminded me of that. It's like, okay, this was standalone except, you know. And one of the things in Armor Wars, like I noticed that Well, first of all, they had the moment where Iron Man and Hawkeye have it out when Iron Man tries to break into the vault. In the original comics, that was Captain America. Oh. Or at least that was Steve Rogers. Like, at the time, yeah. Steve didn't have, you know, his identity, but he had gone to Tony Stark for help, and then he found out about what Tony was doing and was like, Tony, you're not going to break into the vault, right? And Tony's like, yes, Tony Stark won't break into the vault. And then, you know, Steve's like, okay, glad we had this conversation. And then he's like, wait a minute. He said Tony won't break into the vault. Son of a bitch! So, you know, he finds Iron Man breaking into the vault. And, yeah, basically about the kind of almost the same thing happens, like what happened in the cartoon, where Cap turns his back for, like, 2 seconds because the poor guy in the armor that he's protecting is, like, running out of air. So Cap goes to treat him, and when his back is turned, Iron Man, like, pretty much sucker punches him. And, like, that was kind of the beginning of a running subplot where Tony and Cap were not getting along.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you had that, and there was, like, a bunch. I noticed that Armor Wars, they did include a few cameos by, like, you know, they had the Beetle, they had Stiltman, they had Controller, but, like, there were a few others that showed up in the comics that they decided not to give airtime to.
I need to see this, but I don't. So Stiltman makes me laugh because the way, like, he has like a half of a cameo. Like, it's a cameo. He's there.
Yeah.
But, like, I need to figure out who did his voice, because I kind of look. He's like, ooh, Iron Man. Like, I'm like, why would you say it like that? But I love it because it was so funny.
Yeah, I feel like Stiltman was one of the regulars from the TV series, just doing double duty. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. Let me see. Let me. Well,
I'm already looking.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, it was Dorian Hayward.
Was it really?
Yeah, it said. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, he was the one who did the voice.
Okay.
But yeah, it does seem like something where they just, you know, he's going to be in there for a few seconds, and it's like, okay, we don't want to hire like a new guy just for like one or two lines. Dorian, what are you doing? You're not doing anything today? Come on in. You know, here's in the booth. You're doing Stiltman. Just make sure you don't sound like War Machine when you do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and I cannot believe this, but I didn't even recognize the voice, but Fing Fang Foom is Neil Flippin' Ross, is friggin' Springer from Transformers. Yeah.
Okay, that, you know, hey, that.
I mean, this is what it is, but
yeah. Well, and plus, you know, these guys, you know, some of these guys from that animation heyday, you know, they can handle a wide variety of stuff.
Now, I'm curious, and you know more about the comics, you know, from this time than I do. Why did they call him Walter Stark and not Howard Stark?
You know, that one I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, that's his dad. That's Howard, right? And then all of a sudden, Walter, like, what the fuck is Walter?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's... I know that when the Incredible Hulk TV show came out, that they called him David because Bruce sounded a little too wishy-washy. So, you know, that's that one. I don't know why it would switch from Howard to Walter. Because as far as I know in the comics, he was always Howard.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the Walter came from. But for me, something that is like, it's funny, but in the wrong way, is how they gave the Beetle like a Liverpool accent, and Iron Man threw in like a Beatles joke, like for his little cameo.
Well, yeah, I have it in the audio somewhere. Yeah, I caught that. I was like, oh, funny. Funny, funny, funny.
Yeah, it's because, again, like, if you look at the comics, yeah, he's American. You know, he's not British. And
Yeah.
That was just, to me, it felt like it was just, okay, let's do, you know, it's the Beatle. Let's, hey, I think the kids would love like a funny little joke like that. You know, it's that was the reasoning behind that. You know, it's, let's just do a cute little joke. Yeah. But yeah, I also, it's like, I notice like they also had the controller and, yep. And yeah, the controller's cameo or like his appearance in Armor Wars is lifted straight from when he showed up in the storyline in the comics. He was trying to run like a cult type thing. And
yeah,
yeah. Even you even have like the moment where Iron Man walks in on one of the treatment rooms and takes out the little control disc. Like that's lifted straight from there. I'm just curious about the guys that they didn't have. Cause like there was a great moment in the Armor Wars comics where you had an armored supervillain called the Mauler.
Mm-hmm.
And Iron Man goes to like get the armor and Mauler just gives it up. He's just like, you know what? I'm not going to fight you if nobody's paying me. So just take it. I'll just find another one. Like he's just, you know, like mercenary to the core. He's just like, you know what? I'm not getting paid for this. Just take it. Whatever, you know, screw it. Just take it. And then I know that they had like a scene with Whiplash and I think it was it Blizzard where they hijacked a plane. And then for some reason, the guys are wearing armor.
They don't even use – they use Blacklash, not
Blacklash. Whiplash. Oh, yeah. It was Black – yeah, well
– which
– same is, character. Same character, different, you know, yeah, different code name. But yeah, they had them in armor, like, for whatever reason. But I know in the comics, it was this trio called the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I think they just probably what they probably wanted to do was use like established characters. It's like, okay, we threw in some cameos. Now let's give the established guys something to do.
Well, I mean, like Armor Wars Part 1 and Part 2, it's like the whole point of the two-parter is Tony's trying to negate the armor that has been given to all these villains.
Yeah. Well, and even a couple of even some and, heroes, like in
yes,
government
even
types.
Even some heroes, even like Navy people and Army and all yep. that. Yes, absolutely. But like
Stingray,
but that's why all the villains had the armor was so he could go around and negate it. Because,
yep.
What's he gonna do?
I thought it was kind of weird that the guys that protected the vault mm-hmm. that they used the term mandroids instead of guardsmen. Like, I just wonder why the switch. Well, especially because the mandroids were their own thing. And they, like, if you look at their armor, you know, if you look at the, you know, if you look it up, if you do, like, Google image Marvel mandroids, it's like the armors are hella different.
Yeah.
As the saying goes, you know, it's. So I just kind of wonder why they did the mandroid's name with the guardsman look, especially because I know that the toys that they tied into it, that they tied into the cartoon, had a guardsman toy and it was called Guardsman.
Yeah.
I actually tricked my, which funny story about that, funny segue. I tricked my little sister because after I bought the Guardsman toy, I told my little sister it's a special toy where they put Green Lantern and Iron Man together. She's like, what, for real? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I mean, I could see, you know, Tony flying around with Jon Stewart. That would be cool.
Or Hal. I think Tony and Hal.
Hal is too overrated in my mind.
Well, but I could see, you know what? I could actually see Jon with
War Machine.
Jim Rhodes. Yeah. I think those two would have a lot more in common.
Yeah.
And they would probably, like, bond over their partners being lone wolves and such a pain. It's like,
yeah,
God, yeah. Tony's such a pain. Yeah. Hal's the same way. Really? And plus they're both military guys. So, you know, it's like, where'd you serve? Oh, I was in Southeast Asia during this. Oh, and I was there during this.
Yep. And now all as I am waiting for, and I don't think this is going to happen because I don't think he would be right for the role, but all as I'm waiting for is the next Iron whatever, like the next appearance of Rhodey with Don as Don Cheadle. you put Terrence Howard in there as John Stewart for a DC crossover and people would lose their fucking minds. Next well, time, baby. No, there ain't no next time for you.
Yeah, shouldn't have argued about a bigger salary. Shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, you could still have a Terrence Howard war machine in the MCU.
Yeah, he could be
multiverse.
Yep. No, I know.
There you go. Yeah. Problem solved. You know, you get your cake and eat it too. You know, Cheadle still gets to be the 616 or whatever. Yeah, you know, whatever. Rhodey, and you know, we can have
him in his dark gray machine gun armor, and then we can have the super silver armor from the first movie that Rhodey was that Terrence was supposed to get.
Yeah. Oh, or, you know, man. Give him or even give him the or, I mean, if you really want to have a difference between the two, give the Terrence Rhodey that alien armor that Rhodey wore for like a year or two.
Yeah, that's the other thing with this cartoon series. In the first season, Tony always had to either have Homer there or have whatever there to change. Like, what was that? Stingray? That flying vehicle, not the virtual computer, but the in season one, he had Stingray or something following him around, and he would change armors that way. Versus the second season, it was just one armor, and he could just say, "I want drill armor, or I want this armor, or I want that armor."
Yeah,
and just magically changed. You know it, and I was like, "That's cooler than having to, you know, be."
Yeah,
held by a robot midair.
Yeah, not to mention a bit more convenient, because I mean, if you want to play with the trope and have, you know, the bad guys are like, he's going to switch armors, shoot down the little robot thingy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you could prevent mishaps like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, the only other thing that I have negative against this show is the constant threesome with Hypnotia, Dread Knight, and Blacklash.
I know
Dread Knight is dreadful.
Ugh. Well, here's the other thing, because if he's anything like his comic book counterpart, he can't take that helmet off. So it's like, how is this supposed to work?
Yeah.
Like in the comics, that helmet is fused to his head.
Yeah.
Like he cannot take that off. So it's like, okay, you want to like, you know, you want to have, you know, you want to have relations with this lady. Yeah. I hope she doesn't mind kissing Metal Mask, because that's the only way this is going to work.
Yeah.
But I do notice Hypnotia was made for the cartoon. And
yes,
I kind of noticed she has not appeared anywhere else. Like nobody has jumped at the chance to have Hypnotia like go into the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, or the regular 616 Marvel Universe. You know, it's not like Harley where it's like took off by storm and it's like, okay, let's bring Harley into the regular DC universe. It's like, nope, nobody's rushing for that.
No, I mean, hypnotizing villains, it's not exactly okay. It works. It, you know, you can get the villain or you can get the hero to do what you want for however long, but it's not exactly a compelling power.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most I've seen Hypnotia used outside the Iron Man cartoon is a few people having fun with the concept on DeviantArt.
Oh, Lord.
That's about it. It's like,
yeah. So the other thing is that I noticed, and I was like, wait, why? But Dread Knight's horse is Nightwing. What the actual fuck?
Yeah, that seems like a TV edit, because, yeah, I know in the comics his name is Hell Horse.
Oh, okay, well,
I don't think you could, you know, because that's the thing. This series also, you could tell that that the makers of the series were also looking at toy sales. So
yeah,
you probably could not get a mom to buy Iron Man toys for her kid if like Dread Knight comes with Hell Horse. It's like, yeah, I don't think the mom wants to have something called Hell Horse under the Christmas tree for her kid.
No.
So it's like, let's just call it Nightwing.
And apparently Bill Mantlo named that horse back in the 70s. So, I don't know. It is what it is. Have we covered this? I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about with this?
I think we've talked most of it. I think we've pretty much talked about, you know, the bigger point, you know, the biggest points of it. I mean, other than the fact that Scarlet Witch, which by the way, they had her in her Force Works look, so you didn't have like the classic Scarlet Witch with the headband and the cape, you know, instead it was her Force Works look. For me, this was, by the way, I never, like, yeah, I'd been a comics guy before the cartoon came out. Uh-huh. And I had never reading comics. It never crossed my mind to give Scarlet Witch a bit of an accent until this series. And then I'm like, actually, you know what?
That works.
That does work. You know, I mean, maybe not as thick, but
yeah.
You know, maybe she does have a bit of an accent, you know, a bit of kind of an Eastern European, you know, almost Romany accent. Robert Hayes, I mean, we've mentioned it before, but for the longest time, he was the default voice I heard in my head.
Yeah, up until 2008.
In fact, actually, there's still some comics, I mean, depending on the comic, where the voice that gets in my head is Robert Hayes, not Robert Downey Jr. I mean, no offense to Robert Downey Jr., he's freaking iconic, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on the comic, yeah. I think I do hear a little bit of Jen Hale whenever I read Julia Carpenter. And then Hawkeye's voice. I actually like Hawkeye's voice from Iron Man better than the voice he had in the Avengers cartoon, United We Stand.
Right, yeah.
Like, I think this one just works. I mean, no offense, because I know that United We Stand, that the Leewalds worked on it, but I prefer this voice. And I think this voice is, again, my default, unless, depending, sometimes I click back to, I click over to the voice that was in Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's always between Robert and Robert.
Robert and Robert. Yeah.
It's either Robert
Hayes and Robert. Or, who do you want in the armor? Yeah. Robert Hayes or Robert? Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on how he's portrayed, like in the story that you're reading.
Yeah.
Because if it's like if it's kicking the suave up a notch, then you probably think Downey Jr. And then if it's a little less, like if it's more. If it's something more from the 80s or something, you're probably thinking Hayes.
Yeah.
At least that's me. You know, like I don't.
Well, I remember when the very short-lived, what is it, Superior Iron Man came out. It was, like a 4-issue. It was like 10 years ago now or so. And we covered it on the show, and all I could hear in my head is RDJ. I heard RD because it's Superior. Like I'm always right, and this, that, and the other thing, everything else.
Yep.
And then when Dan, you know, the big news years and years ago was like, oh my God, Dan Slott is leaving Spider-Man, and he's gonna go do Iron Man. What's going on? Tony Stark Iron Man has 3 volumes that Dan Slott wrote, and I hear Downey in that as well.
Yep.
But almost anything else, it's Hayes.
Yep.
It just depends on what it is. It depends on what line it is. And like I've said before on many other podcasts, when I saw Iron Man in theaters at the end, before the credits hit, I was like, okay, you said the line. Now I'm waiting for the right song to show up. And all of a sudden, here comes Black Sabbath. And I'm like, okay, that works. That wasn't what I was expecting, but that works. because let's face it, the season two theme song is the best Iron Man.
Oh yeah, no the
All right, over there.
Yep, water down the wrong pipe.
Yep.
Yeah, the season one tune feels just very generic, whereas the season two tune does kind of, it fits a little bit more. Kind of fits the tone.
Absolutely, it does.
Yep.
All right, folks.
Not to mention we don't have the roll call of villains. It's like that's kind of like the 80s, Masters of the Universe, you know?
Yeah.
Towards the end, you have the headshots of Skeletor and his foes, you know, his hench.
I think what they were trying to do with the season one intro is they were trying to make it very comic booky, which they did. Like, but once they start doing Dread Knight and Hypnotia and this, and I'm like, oh god, can we just get to the cartoon, please?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, where is the skip intro button that always shows up? And it's funny because I watched season one on my computer, and I watched it on my phone a couple of times. On my computer, I never saw the skip intro button. As soon as I started watching it on my phone for season, I'm like, yep, skip the intro.
Skip intro, yep.
And don't need that theme song. But it was like season two. It was like, would you like? Nope, we're not skipping that intro.
It's like, just like you don't skip the X-Men intro on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't do that. I think my only other comment for season one, like the other two-parter they had was Iron Man to the Second Power with like the evil Iron Man clone.
Yeah.
Was it a clone or a robot?
It was a robot.
Yeah. My thing is, so we have the character of Sentry that has like his magic axe.
Mm-hmm.
And the damn thing can't like tell you, here are two Iron Men, but ignore this one. It's a robot clone.
Yeah,
it's like, nope, true. There's just two Iron Men, and I have no idea why. It's like, wow, your magic axe sucks, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, man. Take it back in for a refund, because if it can't tell when, between your boss and, like, an evil clone robot thingy, that's, dude, take it back, man. Go to the shop and say, can you repair this? Because it can't tell what's a freaking evil robot duplicate of my boss. It's like,
yeah,
dude, your magic sucks, man. Go back home to your dimension or whatever, and get like get a tune up.
Yeah, and again, like I said, this whole like Hawkeye, I understood. Spider-Woman, I understood. Scarlet Witch, I understood. Even when I was watching the show back then, because I actually tried to go out and get comics that were kind of on the show, whatever else, and I never understood Sentry. I never understood a couple of the other ones, and I'm like,
Sentry, yeah. Again, Sentry, because they had Force, because they were doing Force Works for the cartoon, and it's like,
yeah,
Sentry was the character that was introduced in the comic and became a member of the team. So it's like, okay, let's keep the Force Works guys for the most part intact. But even Rhodey wasn't in Force Works like in the comics. Like at that point, he and Tony were like not getting along. Like I think Rhodey had just had enough of like Tony's manipulative stuff, and he's like, "All right, I'm out."
Yep.
Go, go stick your gauntlet where the sun don't shine.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, what would we rate overall the entire series? I guess we could split it up by season, but 0 to 5, what would you give?
Oh, lordy. Season one,
okay.
Give it a 2.5.
Yeah.
Season two, 3.5. It goes up a point.
Yeah, I'm
it's really not there. Scared. Yeah, it's not there. Like season two, it's not there. But it was getting there. It probably needed like one more season or so to really really get going.
Yeah, so for me it's a scale. Season one is on one side, season two is on the other side. Season one is more episodic, it's more villain of the week, it's more self-contained things. Season two, they tried to start doing continuity. Well, if you're going to create a continuity, start it continue it and have it go through the whole thing. This is why some cartoons where it's like, oh, we are a continuity. And then there's like this singular villain of the week episode in there. And I'm like, that's not in continuity. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So, yeah, you got to pick which side you want to be on. Do you want to just do, you know, weekly self-contained things, or do you want to do a multiverse of madness? Oh, boy. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to close the show after this.
Should be a nice break from all the screaming for Iron Man's hide.
I'll be in touch. Have fun.
Alas, poor Yuri. I knew him. Well, that's weird.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast, from the universe and beyond.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
For over 6 years, my guest and I have been discussing the soundtracks to our lives. I'm Jesse Jackson, and I've had hundreds of fans from around the world share their stories about the power and magic of all kinds of music. If you enjoy stories about joy, redemption, trials, and ultimately triumph, then please check out Set Listing Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. Remember, there is magic in the night.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Why am I always the bearer of bad news?
Well, big bucks, big headaches, Ms. Company spokesperson. That means you get to tell Tony the UN voted to condemn Iron Man. And I get to keep my head attached to my neck.
Maybe he's in a good mood.
Yeah, you sure can't call him.
No, it can't be. All those people, all those lives.
Hey, time out, Tone. Game's over. Fat lady's singing.
What are you doing?
He is. Don't answer, Homer. That's an order.
Tony, whatever it is, we want to help.
You can't. It's my problem. My fault. I have to deal with this alone.
I heard that song before.
Come on. Give the man space to cool down. Homer.
Yes, Mr. Rhodes.
If Tony decides to redecorate any other rooms, call us.
All right, let's close this out, and then it's dinner time for me.
Oh, cool. What's on the menu?
I don't know. Whatever's in the freezer.
days like that.
Yep. Don't die.
Today's not the day I die. Okay.
We shall rise again.
All right, folks, we are back here on TuneCast. Any final thoughts from you, Edward, or anything you want to promote, anything like that?
Nope. As far as promotion, like I have some stuff percolating, but I can't talk about it right now.
Uh-huh.
But there is stuff coming, and it's going to be some cool stuff. That's all I'm going to say.
But aren't you on some sort of universal police
box?
Oh, yeah.
Podcast? I'm still part of Marku 42. I think we're going to have some episodes coming up. I know that Mark and my co-host Vicky Jacobowski have been doing a lot of stuff with British Comics. So I think there's another one of those coming up. And of course, when Jodie Whittaker bows out, we are going to be covering that. So,
oh boy. So she's not going to get another season, is she, or another series?
Nope. She's walking out. There's going to be a special to tie in with the 100th anniversary of BBC, which is going to be her swan song.
Very cool, very cool.
And then, hey, next year is going to be Doctor Who's 60th, and we already know there's a 60th anniversary special coming, which is going to have the return of David Tennant's 10th Doctor, and the bad guy is going to be played by NPH, Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah, very cool. Yes,
Neil Patrick Harris and Doctor Who.
I find it hilarious that you guys, as of this recording, because I don't know when I'm editing or putting this online, but as of this recording a week ago, X6, Childhood Toys We Always Wanted. It's so funny that you guys did that, because over on ToyCast, we just did Toy Talk, No Toy For You, Part 1, Denial of Toys.
Yeah.
So this new series on ToyCast, No Toy For You, obviously No Soup For You. It's a Seinfeld thing, but basically my buddy Josh and I were talking about toys that we were either denied as kids or, like you said, you know, like yours said, like toys you always wanted but never got kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting that we released almost the same type of episode.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say this. A toy I've always wanted as an adult, I finally got my hands on.
Okay.
And that's – I had wanted one of the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Sergeant Slaughters from the G.I. Joe Modern line. I had always wanted one, could never find – like I could either never find it or it was way too pricey. And finally, like the heavens aligned and I had enough money and the price was cheap enough that I got one. So now I finally have one.
There you go.
It's the one with the USA shirt. You know, so it's not the cartoon one, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's a G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter figure. So you know what? I'm calling it a win.
Yeah.
I'm calling it a win.
Waiting to see. I think there is one. I don't remember. I'm waiting to see if there's a Sergeant Slaughter Funko Pop. That's what I'm waiting on.
I want to say there is. I think there is.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Of course, it may be an exclusive. May have been an exclusive.
Yeah, it probably is. And so, then, of course, even though this is cartoons, there's always what Hasbro is doing with G.I. Joe, making pretty much the entire franchise online selling only.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Unfortunately.
That's a whole other topic for a whole different podcast that we could talk about. But, all right, Toonsters, that's going to do it for us here on Tooncast. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCRNToonCast and at ToonCastBeyonder for the show. I am at TF2andMike. What is your Twitter?
And my Twitter, of course, is White Balloon King, spelled WHTBLLNKING. Because, of course, you know, they're not going to let me do the whole thing because character limits. But worst case, if you're having a problem, just look up Eduardo M. Fryer and you should be able to find it.
Absolutely. Here's hoping a lot of the Twitter problems get solved once Musk finally buys it.
Oh, wait, you're not joking.
No, I'm not joking. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. You can also look for Tooncast, all tunes all the time over there, as well as MarkWho42's Universe. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time for something. I don't know. I have nothing planned yet. So I'm in the middle of planning the end of the year for the pull bag, and that's taking up all my time, hence why I've been doing the origins over here on Tooncast for the most part, because they're just easier and it's just, you know, ask the questions, get the answers, get the story, record it, edit it, put it online, boom, you're done. So for now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Eduardo and Fryer.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, and by the way, unleash the tune in you.